Forgiveness. How powerful is it? What do you think? How powerful? When you've been forgiven of something that you have really had turmoil over and received forgiveness, what was that like for you?
About as powerful as
giving forgiveness to some. Oh, not as powerful as forgiving. Okay. Well, let me ask you another question. How powerful is unforgiveness? Boy, howdy. It changes the way you behave, the way you think. It changes the color of your glasses, if you know what I mean. And it is powerful. Unforgiveness. I'm sorry? It sets your final destination, yeah, if you don't get rid of it, if you don't let go of it. And so as we are wrapping up in the next two Sundays, today and next Sunday, our come home tour, this is a tour. You're touring with me through scriptures as we look at forgiveness. The first 3 weeks of April, we've been coming up to Resurrection Sunday, last Sunday. Wonderful. Thank you, by the way, for everybody who shared an invitation to someone else to come and enjoy that. We're grateful for the people who came. So forgiveness is powerful. Unforgiveness is powerful. In your bulletin is a chart on which you can compare forgiveness and unforgiveness. So everybody pull that out. There's a side-by-side chart. And here's your question. By what criteria and with what information would you choose to forgive or not forgive? With what criteria and with what information would you choose to forgive and not forgive? With those around you, write down the benefits of forgiveness and the detriments of unforgiveness. I'm going to give you about 5, 6, 7 minutes to do that. Work with someone else and work on those two pieces. Benefits of forgiveness, the detriments of unforgiveness. Okay? Begin.
Thank you.
Okay, let's come back together. Obviously, this is a topic that we could spend a lot of time on discussing what forgiveness, what the benefits of forgiveness are, what the harm of not forgiving does to us and to others. Just some quick thoughts. What did you come up with?
Seasick.
What?
I know it.
Seasick?
When you're not forgiving, this is Kayla's idea.
Oh. Oh, emotions, they go this way and they go that way and pretty do I need to do that again? Once is enough, okay. Okay, what else?
Freedom from guilt.
Freedom from guilt. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So it's just kind of a never lets up.
Right. So unforgiveness, when you don't let go of it, after a while it kind of calms down, but it's still in there. And then something comes along, touches that, boom! Yeah. You feel it all again, yeah. Okay. Anything else? Right.
And it really beats you up inside.
Yeah.
You know, God doesn't want us to do that. God wants us to be completely open and free in life and spiritual and be able to be happy and understand other people's feelings.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's saying that unforgiveness is like a constant hum going on inside your life and your body, and it takes energy, and it hurts relationships, and it's a constant. It never lets go. Never lets go. Okay. Good stuff. A couple of scriptures. Oh, yeah, Bob. Right. Unforgiveness is like a prison. Puts you into a prison. Yeah. Okay, Nikki and then Mike.
I found that sometimes when you have that hurt inside, you tend to talk about it to other people, which spreads damage of how other people view that person. And you tend to bleed on everybody around you unless you go to that person like God tells you to.
Yeah.
You tend to bleed on everybody else.
Okay, so unforgiveness can kind of take you into the gossip realm and try to maybe destroy a person's reputation in other people's eyes, that kind of thing. Yeah.
I think it's intentional.
Could be. Could be. Yeah. Right. Okay, Mike.
Well, forgiveness provides healing and peace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It gets in the way of that.
Right. Unforgiveness gets in the way of your ability to witness to people. Forgiveness gives you healing and peace. Well done. And Chrissy and then Dan. Yeah. Right. So God tells us to forgive. This is not an option. This is not a suggestion. Yeah. What's your name? Dan?
Very similar to Chrissy's in the Sermon on the Mount right after the Lord's Prayer. Jesus said, if you forgive others, God will forgive you.
Yep.
If you don't, he won't.
Yep. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. Paul.
And then I think you got to forgive yourself before you can get good at forgiving others.
Forgiving self is a prerequisite to forgiving others. OK? Okay, good. All right. I see that hand.
Well, a benefit of forgiving is that we, especially those that we feel don't deserve forgiveness, is that we gain a fuller understanding of Christ's sacrifice on the cross.
Yeah. When we look at ourselves as compared to someone we're angry with, we don't want to forgive, we can kind of make ourselves better than them and say, you know, Jesus loved me. But then when Jesus really gets a hold of that, we say, I'm not giving something to others that Jesus did give to me. And I was, okay, what sin does, what we need to do, you guys, is to stop blaming and start seeing ourselves as much as a sinner as the next guy.
Amen.
I'm just as bad as the guy next to me, and we are both deserving of hell, but we both are given forgiveness from Jesus Christ. Now, take that. Okay, Gene, and then...
So I have a problem with that. I don't know if I should try to reproach her again or if I should just leave it go and let God take care of it.
We're going to address that. Gene says, I've given forgiveness to someone, but they're not ready to receive it yet. What do I do with that? Good question. Jeff?
I was listening to Gene, so I forgot what I was going to say.
Oh. Do that while you're preaching. Gee, I forgot what I was going to say. Yeah.
Being a forgiving person makes you a positive person and a safe person to be around. Whereas if you're unforgiving, you are negative and not safe.
Okay. Forgiving makes you a safe person, unforgiveness makes you an unsafe person. Great stuff. Oh, I see another hand back there. Okay. It's a two-way street. Now you remember.
All right, so when we think about sin, oftentimes we want to measure relative sin. Like, mine's not as bad as that. But you know there's always somebody that's going to be worse and they're deserving of forgiveness. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm trying to say our sin makes us better than others because it's so bad.
Right. I've gossiped, but I've never killed anyone. Uh-oh. Jesus said, even if you're angry with someone, you have committed
murder.
Uh-oh. Cindy? Great stuff. Great question. How do you keep, when you let forgiveness, give forgiveness, how do you keep it from taking it on and replaying it? And, okay, good stuff. I think we're going to have to do an extra sermon here. Yeah. Okay, a couple of scriptures here. Matthew 6. Oh, is this not working? I changed the battery in it. Let me see. Let me see. Am I doing this right? I think we need to re-sync these things. Kayla, will you bring that up? Yeah. Yeah. You know, someone suggested that the other day. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. If you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive yours. I heard a take on this that said this. It's a different take than I've seen before. And that is, God is saying, this is a threat. If you don't forgive, I won't forgive you. It's not a threat. It's really, if we look at the other side of this coin, it's like God saying, please don't put me into this position. I don't want to be there. But if you won't forgive sins of others, I know where I have to stand. Wow. But I would choose for you to not have to put me into that position. Have you ever said that to someone else? Please don't put me in that position. Yeah. Especially those who are in law enforcement. Don't put me in that position. Parents? Yeah. You bet. Uh-huh. Marriage. Ephesians 4, 30 through 32, which I just read in our pastor's prayer this morning. I'm going to focus on verse 32. Forgive others as God has forgiven you in Christ Jesus. So there's our mandate. There's our command. So some things to think about. First of all, giving forgiveness is not a prerequisite to being saved, but it is a prerequisite to spiritual maturity. If you want to grow up in your faith, learn how to forgive other people. Beth Moore said it this way: we look most like Jesus when we forgive others. Forgiving others and forgiving yourself. Hard work. But it's not impossible. Don't you ever say, that is so hard, meaning that's impossible. No, it isn't. Who lives inside of you? The Holy Spirit lives inside of you, Christian. And He empowers you to do what He commands you to do. There is no excuse. Sometimes I wish there were. It's been my experience in ministry and in my own life that there can be a cloud of confusion around what forgiveness is and what it's not. Our next two messages are designed to answer the questions of what is forgiveness, what it is and what it's not, and explain forgiveness, what God expects of us as Christians. So today we're going to identify what forgiveness is not. Number one, follow along in your outline, if you will, because there's some blanks to fill in. Number one, forgiveness is not a feeling. Forgiveness is not a feeling. You may never feel like forgiving someone. If we wait until we feel like forgiving, we may wait a long time. That doesn't seem right, you may say. How can I forgive if I don't feel like it? This is where believing God comes in. Notice I didn't say believing in God. Anyone can believe in God, that is, that He exists, and not obey Him. A lot of people do that. Before I even came around God, yeah, I believe in God. Saying, I believe He exists. I have zero intention to follow Him, but I believe He exists. But if I believe God, believing God means I know what He commands of me. And I'm choosing to follow that. I believe God. So, believing God helps me to follow God, not just believing in God. Let me illustrate. Before people become Christians, they would say things like, I believe in God. Well, of course they believe in God. A lot of people do. More and more people are saying, I'm not sure God even exists. But otherwise, there'd be no reason to become a Christian. However, believing God exists is far different from believing God who will follow through on His promises, instructions, and His warnings. Obedience to God is believing God. Let me say it again. Obedience to God is believing God. If you would like more conversation about this, I'd love to hear your thoughts. Obedience to God is believing God. If you want to test whether or not you believe God, test your obedience. Where are you obeying? Where are you resisting? In the places you're resisting, you're not believing God there. Ask Him to help you to believe. Remember the centurion? Help me in my disbelief. Help me in my disbelief. I want to believe God. Also, believing God results in obedience to God. You may not always feel like obeying God. May I plead with you here. Do not make the mistake of letting your emotions be the reason that you do or do not obey God.
Can you say that again?
Do not let your emotions or your feelings be the criteria by which you choose to obey or not obey. How many of you, this last week didn't feel like obeying God. Pick me. If we wait to feel like obeying God before we do, the church will be very ineffective in its environment. Uh-oh. Too many people, too many Christians are going on their feelings. I just feel like God is saying this to me. Why don't you open up the scriptures and see for sure? Right? Let's be people of the Word. Let's know Him. Know what He's like. Know His character. That way you can know when Satan, who pretends to be an angel of light, you'll know the difference. Because Satan can't tell you complete truth. He'll mix some truth in with lies. We need to be able to pick up on that. Obedience to God is believing in God. Here's something you can stand on, take to the bank. When you decide to obey God, to obey what God is calling you to do, your emotions will eventually follow. That you can take to the bank. It may take a long time for your emotions to follow. It won't be quick. It's usually not. But follow, choose to obey God, and your emotions will follow. Kayla and I don't fight a lot because she won't do it. I'm ready for a fight. I say, here, da da da, and I tell her what I'm thinking. She goes, well, you can think that if you want. Conversation's over. Well, that's no fun. Just takes all the wind right out of my argument. But I remember one specific time I was really angry with her. I went to bed. And I was waiting for her to come to bed. And she didn't, and didn't, and didn't, and I was getting madder and madder. And finally when she came to bed, she touched me and I said, don't touch me. And she said, oh, okay, rolled over and sleep. She would not suck into what I'm trying to get her to do. Oh, are you okay? I wanted her to ask. Wouldn't even get into it. Next morning, I was all right. I'd settled down. But I had some forgiving to do, and I recognized it, but I wanted to stay mad. I wanted to prove my point. I wanted Kayla to suffer a little bit. Kayla, did you suffer on that one? You don't even remember it. Holy cow. One of these days, Alice, one of these days. Oh, golly. When you decide to obey God, what God is calling you to do, your emotions will eventually follow. This creates another question. If I forgive without feeling like it, am I being fake? Yes. What do you think? The answer is no. Why not? Because your feelings do not and cannot determine what truth is. Giving forgiveness to someone when you don't feel like it is how you mature in Christ. If Jesus waited to go to the cross until he felt like it, what did Jesus feel like in the Garden of Gethsemane? We know, very clear. If there be any other way, please take this cup of suffering from me. But if not, I'm ready to go. Wow. Giving forgiveness to someone when you don't feel like it is how you grow up. So on your comparison chart, one benefit of forgiveness is spiritual maturity, and the corresponding detriment of not forgiving is spiritual immaturity. Put that on your chart. Number two, forgiveness is not saying that you were not hurt. The truth is, not forgiving drives the hurt even deeper. To deny you were hurt is to bury it, and buried hurt eventually morphs into bitterness, depression, and anger. Have you ever wondered to yourself why such a little incident made such a big response? It's because you're carrying something inside that got touched, and it needs to be dealt with. You need to take your real feelings and real emotions and real hurts, bring them to the surface where you and God can work on them together. Number three, forgiveness is not excusing the offender. When as children we get hurt by parents, extended family members, friends, teachers, whoever they are, later on as adults we may be tempted to excuse their actions because now as adults we understand why adults do what they do. Maybe they were just feeling this way that day and just took it out on me. And we tend to excuse because we now, as an adult, can understand why someone may have done what they've done. Do not do that. Why? Because it's denying your feelings of hurt. Do not deny your feelings. They're real. It was part of you. That did hurt. When someone is telling you about their hurt, validate. Say, boy, I can tell that really hurt you. Or someone did something wrong to you, you can say, that was wrong that they did that. Because sometimes we're inside of ourselves questioning, was it really that wrong? Was it really that bad? And to have someone else say, yeah, it was, helps us then become connected to our emotions about that thing, and be real with it. Let me illustrate. Guy with a cast on. If you broke your leg as an adult, you would understand that you would need to go to the hospital. You would maybe need to have the bone reset. You would know that you would need to have a cast put on. And you would know that you were going to be in pain for at least 3 weeks. And that you were going to wear that cast for at least 6 weeks. And knowing all that doesn't heal your leg. Information cannot heal your leg. Going through the pain of healing isn't done with information. Why not? Because information cannot heal. Just understanding why someone did what they did to you that caused hurt doesn't heal the hurt. Understanding is understanding. But we need to be able to say, that hurt! I didn't like it! You surprised me with what you said! I don't want to feel like that about you. And these kinds of things come up inside of us. It's real stuff. If we excuse the offender, we are denying that our feelings matter, that our own importance to others doesn't matter, and how we are treated by others isn't important. That's what denying your feelings says. We are out of politeness. I understand why we say it. I've said it, you've said it. Somebody comes to you and says, I'm sorry for, and what do you say? Right. It's okay. It's okay. You know what we need to say? No, it's not. I want to tell you, I recognize it's not okay what I did. It's not okay. I didn't mean to treat you that way. And I did treat you that way. And I'm recognizing that. I'm taking ownership of it. How wonderful that is when someone does that, isn't it? That they would say that to you. Instead, I want you to say this. Instead of saying it's okay, say this. Thank you. Thank you for recognizing that. And what you're saying is, thank you for recognizing that this was wrong and hurtful to me and that you value this relationship. Wow. Thank you for saying this, though. Appreciate that. Number four, forgiveness is not a requirement to trust the offender again. How does another person gain your trust? Here it is. Trust is the result of your appreciation for someone's character. Trust is the result of your appreciation for someone's character. You've learned their character, and you've said, I can trust this character. Okay. It's not perfection. We're not talking perfection in character. We're all going to make mistakes with each other, with other people. But we are saying, I know you well enough that I choose to trust you. One time, this is a long time ago, there was a person who came to my office out of concern for me. And the person shared the concern, and I thought it was going to be, Delbert, I really care about you, and da da da. And that didn't come out. What came out was, here's what you're doing wrong, and here's why it's bad, and here's what you need to do to fix it. And I was so angry. When the person got done, I kept my mouth shut. I didn't speak. And I just took some deep breaths. And then I said, I understood, because I know your heart for me, I'm going to choose to receive some of the stuff you've said to me. But I want you to know your approach to me today sucks. And I said it just like that. You know what the person said? It did. I didn't even know I was approaching you in a way that was offensive. Didn't have a clue. Now, what if I had not said that and just walked away with a boatload of anger? All the stuff you guys said, what unforgiveness does, is probably what I would have done. But I had to slow myself down. Jesus, help me be mature with this. Help me be mature. You do that too, would you? Jesus, help me be mature with this. And if that means taking a week off from the relationship until you go back to it, okay. It's all right. If someone demands you trust him or her, that person is already not trustworthy. What if you are offended at having to prove you are trustworthy? What if you are offended about that? Your reaction indicates two things. Number one, you have an unmet need for approval. Ask for help to look deeper into this, please. And then number two, God is calling you to trust his character as he works to heal places in your life. It's an indicator. God's knocking on your door. There's something in you that needs attention here. Let's get it healed, okay? I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to heal you. Let's work on that. Forgiveness is not a requirement to go back in and trust people. That is not what it means. And if you don't trust someone after they've hurt you, do not go back there and trust that. It's not, forgiveness is not that. Let me explain here quickly that forgiveness is not equal to reconciliation. Forgiveness does not mean reconciliation. Forgiveness is work you do between you and God that then you can give to someone else. Reconciliation requires two people who are willing equally to make the relationship better. If you have that, you might be able to do some reconciliation work. But it's hard work sometimes, isn't it? Reconciliation can be hard work. And it usually is. But the benefits of reconciliation, oh my, it's good stuff. Number five, forgiveness is not canceling the responsibility of the offender. If you wait until the person who hurt you comes to you and begs forgiveness, you might wait a long time. So then, are you and I just to let people who hurt us off the hook and that's it? Are we supposed to say no harm, no foul? No, we don't need to do that. Thankfully, this is not what giving forgiveness says. Forgiveness is not the canceling of responsibility of the offender. Rather, it is the transferring of responsibility from your court to God's court, the highest court in the land. And you let God have that offender. And you don't get to decide what justice looks like here. But by giving that to God and putting it in His court, then you can be free of it. You can be free of it. So let's recap. Forgiveness is not a feeling, but a decision. Just like love is not a feeling. It has feelings attached to it, but love is first and always a choice, isn't it? It's always a choice first. Forgiveness is not denying you were hurt. Forgiveness is not excusing the offender. Forgiveness is not a requirement to trust the offender again. And finally, forgiveness is not canceling the responsibility of the offender. But you are letting the offender off your hook. Amen. So let's respond to God with this, shall we? As you learn to understand what forgiveness is not, you can open your heart to the possibility of forgiving people who have caused you hurt in your life. Start looking it up. Here's my challenge to you today. If I could give you an assignment, it would be this. Take out a piece of paper and a pen and say, Father, help me remember people who've hurt me in my past that I have not yet forgiven. And start writing names down. Spend a month doing that. Because names will come to you over time. Write them down. Don't excuse anything. You might think, oh, that was not a big deal. Don't do that. Because Satan will use even the littlest hurt and turn it into what? A big hurt over time. Okay, so we're making a list of people who have hurt us so that we can go back. Next week, we're going to talk about what forgiveness is and work at forgiving people. We're going to work on how do I let go of forgiveness. I keep remembering it. Or let go of unforgiveness, I should say. All right. God bless you. Let's understand what forgiveness is not so that we don't get messed up about it. Let's clear up the confusion. And next week, learn what forgiveness is and be a person who forgives, a church that forgives. How powerful that is in a community, a church that forgives. Woo! God is at work. Hallelujah. If you need forgiveness today, Jesus Christ is ready to give it. If you need forgiveness from someone else or need to forgive someone else and want some help working that through, see me, one of the elders, see Chrissy, see, gosh, there's a bunch of you here who know who do that work. Let's work on it, shall we? Let's stand together and sing.